just lift your hands in worship. He's worthy to receive all glory, honor and praise.
Father, we give you praise. We worship you. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege accorded us as your people, not only to be called sons and daughters, children of the Most High God, but the wonderful privilege to mention your name and to worship you in spirit and in truth. Your word says to us that you seek those people. And our prayer, oh God, today is that you found in us a people that are worshiping you in spirit and in truth. Be magnified, Father. Receive our worship. Receive our adoration. The word says, oh God, that where your people are gathered together in your name, there you are in the midst of them. You are a spirit, and where your spirit is, there is liberty. And this day, Lord, we embrace the liberty that we find in you. We thank you for loving us with an everlasting love. And we declare, O God, according to your word, we state so boldly and so clearly, rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Lord, we rejoice in you. And our praise, O God, rises before you this day as we appreciate you and declare your loving kindness and your tender mercies ever fulfilling, as we declare that you are Lord over our lives. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. You are Lord. You are risen from the dead. And you are Lord. Let us sing it, for he is Lord. He's risen from the dead. and He is Lord.
For He is Lord. He is Lord. Sing with me.
One thing to say that He is Lord. It's another thing to say that He is your Lord. It's like saying, I believe there is a God, but do you know Him as your God? For it's only the people that know God as their God that do exploit. Today, I want you to have a very personal experience with God. Not the experience of your father, your mother, your brother, your sister, your pastor, or anyone else. It has to be a very personal one with you. So as you sing it today, do not sing that He is Lord. Sing, He's my Lord. And my knees shall bow, and my tongue shall confess. Because when your knees bow to Him, and your tongue confesses that He is your Lord, then you become Lord over everything else. Until you're subject to God, nothing will be subject to you. It is you being under authority that gives you the authority to rule and reign. So this morning, make it a personal thing so that you can have authority from God to perform the will of God in your life and all around you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now He's my Lord.
For He's my Lord.
Yes, He is my Lord.
He's my
Jesus than silver or gold. Do you know that song? I just sense this morning that we need to make confessions that line up. Do you have the words of "I'd rather have Jesus"? Yes. All right. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be His than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or land. I'd rather be led by His nailed, pierced hand than to be the king of a vast domain and be held in sin's dread way. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. Is that your confession? What shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? As far as God is concerned, you are more precious than this whole world. There is nothing that compares to you. Therefore, you must not cheapen your life for things. Great and pleasurable as things are, they do not have the value of you. When Jesus Christ died on the cross for us, being God, that He paid the price with His life, changed the value of our lives. It gave us the value of God Himself. That's what He paid for you. The value of God. It's more than the world's applause. Than to be a king of a vast domain and be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything. This wall I fought today. All the gold and the silver, the platinum, all the minerals, the fish in the sea, the stars in the sky, the moon, the sun. Do not have the glory that God has placed on my life and on your life. Do not forget that. Do not forget that. He is more than enough. And he's made you more than enough. Enjoy the goodness of the Lord. Amen? Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Is that Chief Harper that I see there? Bless you, my brother. Praise the Lord. God is good. Thank you, worship team, for a wonderful experience in the Lord. At this time, Mama is going to come and lead us deeper into the presence of the Lord. This morning, there is going to be, or this early afternoon, there is going to be a baptism service. And we encourage you to hang around for that and celebrate those that are getting baptized. And there will be a short luncheon after that. Bless you.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
God day, everybody.
God day.
So good to be in the house of the Lord. We're going to read one scripture together, and then we're going to rise and pray. This morning we'll read from Matthew 6. You can read the whole chapter on your own. We're just going to read about a few verses, starting from verse 9. After this manner, therefore pray, Our Father, you should know this prayer by heart if you are more than a year in the Lord. Let's read it together. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, I'll read 14 and 15. This is the condition that we make your prayers to be heard or not be heard. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Now, the question I have for us now is, who answers our prayer, man or God? And if God is the one that answers our prayer, then we must follow his rules. Somebody say amen. Somebody say, I will forgive. Somebody say, I will release those who hurt me. Say amen. All right, let's rise and let us pray. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we are grateful and we are thankful. Your disciples asked, they saw you, that prayer was very important to you, that you prayed in the night, you spent your time away with God, and they saw solutions wherever they went with you. And Lord, they now asked you, Father, teach us how to pray. And you gave them how to pray. You've stated how your kingdom works. We have prayed it. We have acknowledged you as our Father. We have asked for your mercy, and we have asked for your forgiveness. May you have mercy on every one of us. In the mighty name of Jesus, those who have hurt us from the time we were born to now, even when we are in our mother's womb, those who spoke evil against our parents, and we heard it in the womb, Father, we forgive everyone. From that time to this very moment, we forgive all those who have sinned against us. And every sin we have committed, because your word says sin and iniquity did our mother begot us. So, Father, forgive us also our sins. In the mighty name of Jesus, cleanse every one of us with the precious blood of Jesus. Cleanse us with the word of God. Cleanse us with your name. Put your name in our heart. Let your ways be important to us. Like we sang this morning, we'd rather have Jesus than silver and gold. Silver and gold is important to the world, but let it not be important to us. May we choose you as number one. The silver and gold will follow. Your word says, seek the kingdom of God first and his righteousness, and every other thing will be added to us. So every other thing will be added to us. But we choose you first, O God. May you be number one in our hearts. May you be number one in everything we do. In every decision we have to make, may you be number one in the mighty name of Jesus. May we not choose others first before we choose you. May we choose you always. When we come to church and we worship you, may you be the one we are worshiping, not our friends. We are not here to be entertained. We are here to meet the King of Glory, the Holy God, who deserve all adoration and praise. Father, be lifted high, 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 high and higher in our hearts, O God, in our homes, in our hearts, in wherever we, whatever we do and wherever we are, may you be number one. The Lord our God is one. May we magnify your name. In the mighty name of Jesus, may our thanksgiving be offered unto you with sincere hearts, O God. May everything you ask us to do, may we do it with a sincere heart. In our homes, in our marriages, in our children's life, in our businesses, in our jobs, in our relationship, may our heart be pure to you, O God. In the mighty name of Jesus, may eye service live our lives. In the mighty name of Jesus, may we serve the Lord with gladness. May we do what pleases you. And as we please you, every other thing is added unto our lives. Father, we give you praise. Your children are not designed to beg. We are not beggar's family. We are the King of Glory family. Oh, we bless your holy name. Can you bless the Lord this morning? Oh, we bless your holy name. We bless your holy name. The King of Glory is your Father and my Father. He's your God and my God. He's our awesome provider. He's our healer, our restorer, our maker. Oh, God, we bless your holy name. There is nothing too hard for you. Your hand is not short that you cannot touch the ends of the earth. The earth came out of you. Therefore, the earth is subject to you and to your ways. Father, we give you praise. We give you praise. We give you praise for answers and solutions, for many miracles. We thank you for the mighty things you are doing in our midst. We slept and we woke up. We came here to say thank you, God. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We go in and out, and we come in safety. We go in and out, and we are in peace. We go in and out, and we find green pastures all the time, not sometimes. You have put us in the place of peace. We stay in the island of the innocent, and in this place, no fire will burn us. No water will flood us. No beast can eat us. In the mighty name of Jesus, you have put us within you. And in this place, we have victory and success. Father, be glorified. Our family is in safety. Our businesses are in safety. Our ministry are in safety. Our community are in safety. Father, we give you praise. Our nation is in safety. To God be all the glory. And now we pray for the peace of Jerusalem, peace within her walls and prosperity to her palaces. Father, we bless your nation. We bless your people. We know that a new Jerusalem is being fashioned and a new one will come and rest upon the old. Father, we give you praise. We give you praise. We give you praise. Of all places you chose, that is where you chose. It could have been Winnipeg, but you chose Jerusalem. So we thank you, O God, for the heavenly Jerusalem. Let whatever is happening in the heavenlies override what's happening in the earth now. In the mighty name of Jesus, Father, we give you praise. We thank you for answers and solutions. We speak peace over the nation of Israel, over Canada, over Nigeria, over United States of America, over Zimbabwe, over Bogota, Colombia, in the mighty name of Jesus, over Brazil. Touch your people, Lord. All the islands of the seas, all First Nations of the earth, wherever someone is calling upon the name of the Lord, hear the cry of your people. Salvation come to them. Save your people, Lord. Draw them to you, Lord. And drive away every evil leader and put the righteous leaders. For righteousness exalt a nation, and sin is a reproach. May righteousness exalt our nation. In the mighty name of Jesus, and may the nation turn to you. Let there be revival. Let answers come. And let family have more than enough. In the mighty name of Jesus. Bless this ministry and bless Glory and Peace Church family and friends of Glory and Peace Church family. Minister the same grace to them and their household, extended families, biological children, spiritual children, partners, and extended families all over the world. And those who are in this sanctuary this morning, bless them in the mighty name of Jesus. Let your word come with power, with grace, favor, healing, deliverance, wholeness, restoration, and continuous testimonies. And we thank you for all our young people that graduated this June. We thank you, Almighty God, for their lives. We thank you for blessing them. And we thank you for granting them scholarships. And we thank you, God, for continuous scholarship in this house. In the name of Jesus, that word will not change as long as this ministry remains in the earth. Scholarships will continue. Healing will continue. Favor will continue. Blessings will continue. Grace to grace. Glory to glory. Favor to favor. People will marry and stay in their marriages. Peace will reign in their home. The blessings of God will make them rich and add no sorrow to them. They will live divine health, divine wealth, divine peace, long life, favor, and you will contend with everything that contend with them. In the mighty name of Jesus, we give you all the praise. Say, if you believe this, say a big amen. Yeah. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Apostle.
Prayer is a predominant factor in the life of a believer. And in most faiths, religious systems, prayer is a very important factor. Why do we pray? If God knows everything, why do I need to tell him what he already knows so he can answer? So the reason for prayer might not necessarily then be about me giving God information. Maybe prayer is about me getting information. I hope you got that point, Claire. Prayer is not about giving God information. It's about getting information. When you pray, you must focus not just on talking, but in listening, hearing, following through. You must understand that prayer is not a long distance deal, because the God that you're praying to It's inside of you. It's a local call. And you need to listen. Because sometimes the answer will come from inside of you. But the God that you do not know cannot speak to you. The God that you're not willing to listen to because you're too rushed and too focused on your problem cannot help you. We need to cast all of our burdens and our cares upon Him, for He cares. Because the answer is not in the much, sometimes it's in the little. He even says to us, if you have faith small as a mustard seed, you say to that mountain, be thou removed, and it will do so. It will obey you. So get connected with what is most important. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, we've been talking about peace. And then we started talking about joy last week. We defined joy as the reflection of the presence of God. Joy is a reflection of the presence of God. If joy is the reflection of the presence of God in your life, peace is the activation of that presence. If you do not activate the presence of God, engage with the presence of God in your life, you cannot walk in peace. Peace is already given to you, the Lord Jesus Christ said. He says, my peace I give unto you. So it's in you. It's not something coming to you, it's already inside of you. Say with me, peace is not coming to me. It's already within me. Jesus gave it to me. You're not looking for peace. Peace is inside of you. You need to activate it. How do you activate the peace of God? By speaking the word of God. By speaking the word of God, that's how you activate peace. Secondly, you activate peace by your worship and adoration, your praise and your worship. When trouble comes and you begin to kick into peace by activating it with your worship and your praise, the sister of peace gets reflected. Because the word of God says, your praise is inhabited by God. Yeah? Your praise is inhabited by God. God inhabits the praises of His. He lives there. So when you begin to worship God in the midst of your trouble, you begin to reflect the glory of that presence. That's what your joy is. Your joy reflects the glory of God, the presence of God. And if you're not a worshiper, you cannot be a joyful person. There is no way that you truly worship in God in spirit and in truth that you look like you've been baptized in lemon juice and prune juice. It's not going to happen. Once you start praising God, joy begins to overflow. Hallelujah. If you're not joyful, start praising God. The joy of the Lord strengthens you. Amen? Hallelujah. So let's explore a little bit about joy. And last Sunday, Sunday evening, I was exploring joy and I was going to talk about hope. but I did not get there. Hopefully I get there today. Hallelujah. But nonetheless, sons and daughters from different parts of the world started sending me messages. I didn't know they were even listening. So I really like that message on hope and what you did with that illustration with the coin. I said, huh? Nothing in our social media reflects on all of these people that are listening all over the place. But this morning, I am believing God for a breakthrough for everyone here. Let me say that again. I'm believing God for breakthroughs for everyone here today. You're not going to leave here the same. I declare and decree it so in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, my sovereign Lord. You are established and things are percolating for you right now. I don't know who that word is for. Things are. This week, you are going to be surprised by the goodness of God. Hallelujah. Things that you've been struggling with for the longest time and you could not see the end of it. This week, there will be a period. Full stop and a new beginning in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. The Word of God says in James 1 and verse 2, it says, my brethren, count it all joy. Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. In essence, no matter what the temptation is, no matter what the trial is, be joyful. Be joyful. Why? That you're in pain? No, no, no. That this is a setup for an increase. Because every trial you go through is positioning you for a greater purpose, for a greater dimension, a greater experience in God. There is something about God that you did not know that you are about to know. Hallelujah. And so today I can share testimony after testimony based on trials. I don't know that I can tell you much testimonies based on no trials. Most powerful testimonies I can share with you came out of a difficult experience. So if I talk about laying hands on my transmission, on my car, and my transmission getting fixed, it came out of a trial of not having money. If I tell you a testimony of driving my car from East Kildonan to Otterburn on empty all week long, it came out of a trial. If I tell you a testimony about my freezer being filled all year long without me going to the store to go buy meat, chicken, and yet we're feeding people in the house, not just my family, but other families that came and participated and engaged with us during the weekend after church services, it came out of a trial. Are you with me? The challenges that you go through are set up for a testimony. So the Word of God says, count it all what? Joy. Don't count it a time of griping and complaining and I've done my share of it. I'm not here telling you that I wasn't complaining. Oh, yeah. But you have to grow up and begin to celebrate when things come and say, wow, God must have something great on his mind. The promise of God is that he will not allow you to be tempted beyond that which you are able to bear. Remember that. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond that which you are able to bear. So in essence, if you are able to carry 5 pounds comfortably, and that's your limit, God is not going to put 20 kilograms on you. He's not going to put 50 pounds on you because you cannot handle it. So if God gives you 50 pounds, it's because he knows that you can handle not just 50 pounds, you can handle much more than that. So begin to say, God, you have so much faith in me that I can go through this. As big as it is, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, that you have invested so much in me, and I did not know it. But I thank you that there is a revelation of what I am in you, because this squeezing is revealing something that's inside of me. Hello? If I have, I know some of you don't know about Aqua Fresh toothpaste. You might know about something else. But once upon a time, there used to be a toothpaste called Aqua Fresh. And now we have Sensodyne. All these fancy names. Well, if you squeeze any of those things, whatever it is that's on the inside comes out. When you get squeezed in life, what's coming out of you? If you've got the presence of God inside of you, then hallelujahs will come out of you. Praise the Lord will come out of you. But if you don't have him, oh, it's F this and F that. S this and S that. Hello? I'm not going to tell you what F this stands for because I know you know. But when you've got him inside of you, from nowhere, but from somewhere, deep within you, out of the depths of the belly, inside of you, comes out living water that brings about restoration. The Word of God says, count it all joy. Why? Knowing, it says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. And we're talking about the joy of the Lord, but now there's an interplay here. It says, the trying of your faith worketh patience. That word patience there is a Greek word. And this word is a powerful word because it gives us an understanding of what patience is. The word is hypomone. Hypomone. The word hypo stands for something that is under, beneath. So we'll use words like hypoglycemic, meaning low levels of sugar. Yes? Hyperthermia, low temperatures. Are we together? So that's that first part of that word, hypomone. Mone, on the other side, means to abide, dwell. So, this word, patience, means to stand or to stay beneath. Stay beneath what? The covering of God's word. A man who is patient is staying under God's word. Let me say that again. A person who is patient is staying under God's word. Is standing under. Standing under. Say it with me, standing under. Okay, that's patience. Now, why are you standing under? Flip it. It is because of your understanding. Do you get it? You staying under because of your understanding. Understanding of what? Understanding of who God is. Who God is. That's what causes you to be patient. Now, that patience is founded on the bridge called hope. Patience is founded on the bridge called hope. Let me say that again. I want you to understand. Patience is founded on the bridge called hope. Now, what is hope? Hope is that which, that position, that posture that you take between the time you heard the word of God or you heard from God to the time of the manifestation of that word that you heard. So, hope is hopeless when you've not heard from God. Come. Hope is hopeless when you've not heard from God. You cannot have tangible hope when you've not heard from God. And when you've not heard from God, you cannot be under that understanding, and therefore you cannot be patient. Impatient people have not heard from God. Because if they've heard from God, then they should stay under the grace and the covering of that hope. Now, I'm not going to use a coin this time. I'm going to use this book. If this front cover is when you heard from God, and this back cover is when there is the manifestation of what you heard from God, hope is this distance between the front cover and the back cover. This is hope. This is your expectation. Your hope is based on an expectation. An expectation of what? That the faithful God who said the check is in the mail actually put it in the mail. Hallelujah. Now, the distance between this front page and this back page can be shortened. Say, what do you mean by shortened? By the exuberance of your spirit in true worship and adoration. If in between here you're spending your time complaining, you are bringing about a delay. The word of God says a double-minded person should not expect any answers from God. So the more you stay committed to what God said, and you are giving him thanks anyhow, you shorten the delay. Are we together? The word of God says men ought always to pray and not faint. Let me put it this way. If you're praying, the word of God says, enter into his gates with what? Thanksgiving. And into his courts with what? Praise. If you're going to access God, you access him, yes, by the blood, yes, by the word, but primarily before you even get to the blood, with praise. There was one door, one entrance point into the tabernacle. And the family, the tribe that was sitting at that door, dead center, is the tribe of Judah. Yeah? What does Judah stand for? Praise. So if you're entering, you got to enter through praise. And then you had the place where the blood was being shed. Yes? You go from there and you come to the laver. The laver was a mirrored bowl that had water in it. Are you with me? Stay with me. Stay with me. When you first came to that laver, there was water, this mirrored, shiny bowl with water in it. When you first got there, you saw your face very clearly as you are. But the priest, as they came from the altar of sacrifice and they came to that laver, they washed their hands in there, their bloody hands. So after a while, you only saw your face through the blood. Are you with me? You only saw your face through the blood. Now, if you're going to live a life of joy, you got to see yourself only through the blood. Are we together so far? Because the blood, even while it seems like it's distorted everything about you, it's distorted it to the glory of the sacrifice. And that sacrifice was Jesus Christ. So the life of the believer, the life of joy, is only seen through the face of Jesus, the blood of Jesus. Are we together? Now, what does Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2 tell us? Hebrews chapter 12. Actually, we should take it up from verse 1 and then read into verse 2. It says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with what? Patience. Staying under, not in your strength, not in your ability, not in your achievements, but under the covering of God's word. Run with patience the race that is set before us. How? Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, as being as our example. So, whatever Jesus is doing, that's what I'm going to be doing. Praise the Lord. Today, some are going to be baptized. On the basis of what? Baptism is about identification with Jesus. It's about, he died, so I die. He was buried, so I'm buried. He rose again from the dead, so I'm rising. Well, he rose again from the dead on the third day. Yes? I'm reminded about the word of the Lord to me few years back, he said to me, "Do you know why I was in the grave for 3 days and 3 nights?" I said, "I know you were, but I don't know. I preach it, but I really don't know." He said, "Would you like to know?" I said, "Yes." He said, "On day one, I was dealing with every issue of your past. On day two, I dealt with every issue of your present. On day three, I dealt with every issue in your future." And he said to me, "Son, it is finished. You don't need to worry about anything. It's taken care of." Today, I want to remind you of that. That as you identify with Jesus Christ, you are identifying with the fact that he's already dealt with your past, your present, and your future. And that if you stumble, the word of God says, the righteous man stumbles, he falls, but he gets up again 7 times. You must not allow the devil to steal your joy. You must celebrate the goodness of God and say, "Yes, I fell, but I'm not celebrating the fact that I fell. I'm celebrating the fact that God is well able to stand me back up. I stand up in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. I am righteous. I am upright. I am not falling down. I am upright." Glory be to God. You don't walk in victory looking at your sin. You walk in victory looking at the victorious workings of the Lord Jesus Christ, the things that he's already done for you already. And that's what generates all that joy. The word of God says, "Who for the joy that was set before him," Jesus, "who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross." Because of the joy, because he saw what he was going to get out of this, he endured the cross. He despised the shame and is now set. Not just seated, but set down at the right hand of the throne of God. The word of God says when we died with him. We rose again from the dead with him. We ascended with him. And we are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And if we are in Christ Jesus, then we are set at the right hand of the throne of God. The right hand is a right hand of authority, the right hand of empowerment. So if you can picture it, here is the Father, here is Jesus. Every time the Father puts his hand around Jesus, he is saying, "You are empowered. You are authorized." And if you are in him, that is the impartation that's coming upon you. That's what generates joy inside of you. And you begin to reflect that glory, that you are in the presence of God. No matter what happens, you must never lose sight of that. Don't allow the condemnation of the enemy to rob you of the joy of the Lord. God already knew about your mess up. Now draw to God. He says, "If you draw near to me, I will draw near to you." Your righteousness is in him. Amen? Hallelujah. The word of God says the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ celebrated when they were being persecuted. In Acts chapter 5 and verse 41. Acts chapter 5 and verse 41. We're talking about the joy. It says the disciples, they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. The Sanhedrin had come against the disciples, persecuting them, telling them they could not preach about Jesus Christ and all kinds of stuff. And They wanted to snuff their lives. But a man of God called Gamaliel said, you know, guys, I think we better leave this case alone. Because if this is not of God, it's going to fail just like the others. But if it is of God, and we are going after these guys, we may find ourselves fighting against God. So I think we need to back off. And the Sanhedrin, which were like a governmental group, spiritual and political, said, I think you might be right. So they whooped them, they whipped them and whipped them and whipped them and whipped them and said, if you want some more of this koboko, some of this raw hide, keep at what you're doing. And what do the disciples do? They left the council. Oh, we thank you, Lord, that we're worthy of being persecuted and being whipped for your name's sake. Oh, we give you praise. We give you. What does that do to the devil? When he tries everything, he throws everything at you, and the end result is you celebrating and you praising God. What does he do with you? What does he do with Paul and Silas that have been thrown into jail and they are using their chains to make music? What do you do with people like that? That only happens for people who are sold out to God. We just came through COVID and a lot of believers caved. Yeah. I got to eat. And some were busy collecting money from the government because the government was going to be their source. I told you not to do that. Those of you that did not, did you die? Are you being pursued now for repayment? And if you're a church and you are busy collecting money from the government, then when trouble comes, where is your faith? You're going to run to the government again? And then the government tells you, you cannot preach so and so from the Bible because this Bible is now declared a hate book. What are you going to do? Compromise? Well, if you don't care about what they have to say about the matter and Jesus is Lord and you recognize that every knee must bow to him and every tongue must confess that Jesus Christ is Lord and you take your position and your authority as a son of the Most High God, you say no to the devil and say, die with your money. I don't need your money. How much of what was happening in Egypt did the children of God in Goshen have to rely on? You and I, when we have the peace of God and we have the joy of God, are set. Set at the right hand of the throne of God. You know who you are. You know what you are about. You know the plan and the purposes of God for your life, and you know that the devil has no power or authority over any aspect of your life, that the devil can go to hell if all that's all he knows. He can go, but you've been there and you're out, and you're not going back. Hallelujah. You say, what do you mean that you've been in? Yes, when Jesus went to hell, you went to hell with him. Hello? And he came out of hell. So are you. You're coming out of hell. Praise the Lord. I didn't want to say H-E double hockey sticks because they are playing soccer now. Listen, you got to have spiritual backbone. know who you are. It is the people that know God that do exploits. People that do not know God get exploited by the devil and his cohorts and the systems of this world. And you don't get to become strong in the Lord overnight. You do that by going through the processes that God works you through. And part of the process is that he allows you to go through trials. Yes, he allows you to go through certain things, and that fortifies you. It hardens you and make you capable to stand against all the enemy throws at you. Understand, the enemy is going to throw things at you. But the thing is, you got to understand by coming under the word of God. Hear this. Coming under the word of God and standing under that grace that you with him are seated in heavenly places and that you are far above principalities, far above powers, far above the rulers of the darkness of this world, far above all spiritual wickedness. You are far above, far above, far above. So when you're going through situations, you declare, I am far above. I'm reminded of an experience I had, about a decade or so ago. I was with Mama in the city of Warring. We're having a crusade there. And I just came into my hotel room. Mama was already in bed. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, it was like all over my body. Somebody was poking me with pins and needles. I was in great pain. Out of nowhere. There was no reason for this. All over, from the sole of my feet to the crown of my head to my fingertips, everywhere, every part of my body. Pinned. I said to Mama, I said, I'm in trouble. Pray for me. She said, if you can't pray for yourself, you'll be there. I said, this woman is not about to help me this time. I said, what am I going to do? And the Lord reminded me, you are far above. And I said, I am far above principalities and powers. I align myself to the word of God. And that quickly, I was out of it. And from that position, I said, return fire, whoever that thing came from, go back. I didn't call that fire back. I'm sure they are still going through their problem. You came to trouble me, you're going to get troubled. Who gave you the authority to mess with me? Who gave that enemy the authority to try to steal your joy, to steal your peace? You've got to fight back by the authority of the word of God and say no to the devil. Remind yourself that you are in Christ Jesus and that you are hidden in Christ, who is hidden in the Father, and that you are sealed by the Holy Spirit. And the devil has to fight through the Father, fight through the Son, fight through the breaking of the seal of the Holy Spirit to get to you. You are untouchable. You are the child of the Most High God, and you are not subject to the authority of the devil. You are risen with Christ, anointed by the power of God, and you are the victor and not the victim. Somebody shout hallelujah. The devil's a liar. We are not called to defeat. We're called to victory. That's why we rejoice in the Lord all the way we keep on rejoicing in the Lord. Glory be to God. In Isaiah chapter 35 and verse 10. Isaiah 35 and verse 10. It says, and the the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. Everlasting joy upon their heads. What is that? That is being crowned with joy. Let me say that again. That is being crowned with joy. That your life is crowned with joy. Now the word of God says that God will crown our year with his favor. Well, that's why you're celebrating. Every day is a day of favor. That's why when people ask me, how are you doing? I say, I am blessed and what? Highly favored of the Lord. One of my pastor friends said, you and Mary. I said, it doesn't matter. I take it. I am blessed and highly favored. It doesn't matter. I am blessed and highly favored. On your bad day, I am blessed and highly favored. On your good day, I am blessed and highly favored. In a mediocre day, I am blessed and highly favored because I am returning with songs and everlasting joy is upon my head. It says, they shall what? Obtain joy. They shall what? Obtain. They shall get joy. They shall get gladness. And sorrow and sighing shall what? Flee away. When you get the joy of the Lord and you get the gladness of the Lord, sorrow, grief, pain flees. The word of God says, resist the devil and the devil will flee from you. Amen? When you humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, humble yourself by staying under the covering of God's glory, of God's presence, that you are saying that whatever it is that's happening in your life, when it's not glorifying to God, you say, this does not reflect the glory of God. Today, I reflect His glory. I reflect the glory of God. Listen, child of God. Looking at the sun will cause you to be blind. But the reflection of that sun in your mirror can also blind. Hello? The intensity of the glory of God reflected in your life and through your life will have an impact on the enemy of your soul. Your joy becomes the ability to tap into the strength and the power of God. Now, understand that strength and power are two different things. Power makes me lift this book like it's nothing. But strength keeps me holding it up. Power, strength. A feather can become an 18-wheeler when you don't have the strength. Are we together? What you and I need is not just power. Everybody's praying for power, 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 power. I need more power. Yeah, that power may be authority. That power may be the capacity to move things. But really, ultimately, what you need is strength. You need the strength of God. And how do you get that? It says it is the joy of the Lord that becomes your strength. How does God get joy? By you aligning your life with His Word, coming into agreement with His Word. The Word of God says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. It is impossible to pleasure God. And if God is not pleasured, then God is not joyful. But watch this. What causes heaven to rejoice? Souls. So what is the thing that you need to drive the devil crazy every day? Go after those people that he thinks he has in his back pocket. Go after those that he thinks he's going to take to hell. Depopulating hell and filling heaven. Be a soul winner, because soul winners are joyful people. There's nothing that can cause you to experience the joy of the Lord like seeing a life forever changed. I was ministering for one of my sons a few weeks ago at his church, and he began to play a video, and the video was about his baptism, just right here, how we went into the water together and I baptized him and I spoke a prophetic word over his life, spoke about him and how he was going to be a teacher of the Word of God. He knew nothing about the Word of God. And yeah, I'm telling him he's going to be a teacher of the Word of God. It's going to happen. But today, he's a teacher of the Word of God. He has a congregation under him, and I went and I ministered for him. Hallelujah. God taking people. What did that do for me? A whole lot. Oh. A whole lot. My heart was flooded with the joy of the Lord. Here is a son who is serving another group of people, in ministering to them, because he received a word from God. I don't know what word you may have received today, but my earnest prayer and desire is this, that whatever that word is that God has quickened in your spirit, that it be activated as peace and reflected as an experience of joy in the Holy Ghost. That you stand positioned, recognizing that no word of God fails. And whether it takes 1 week or 2 weeks or a month or a year, 5 years, that you stay steadfast, recognizing that God will do in you and for you great and mighty things. That he's going to use your life to manifest his glory. I've seen people pulled out of the place of total defeat, and you look at them and say, can anything good come out of this? And there they are, touching lives, touching nations, impacting people all over the world. When I hear the things that God has done with lives of men and women, I'm filled with great joy. So I look at this congregation today, I'm filled with great joy, because I don't know what God is going to do with your life. Mama and I heard of some spiritual sons and daughters how God has raised them up, even from one family, two valedictorians, representing their class and speaking life into their class. How does that happen? God raising people. You may have a son, a daughter. It seems like that son or daughter has gone off. And when you look at their life, all you can see is disaster and destruction. But you're a child of God. And the word of God says that he will save you and your entire household. So what do? Come into agreement with the devil? You just say, he's collecting his testimonies. When he comes back, he's going to come back stronger. Now he knows the secrets of the enemy. And now he will do great and mighty things and go into the territory of the enemy and bring out men and women out of the place of captivity. Devil, you don't have the last word. God has the last word. And as far as I know, he says he's going to save me and my entire household. I am saved. I'm under his lordship. You cannot have my children. You cannot have my son. You cannot have my daughter. You cannot have my family. You cannot have my wife. You cannot have my husband. You cannot have, actually, I extend this to my cousins and my uncles. Hallelujah. Anyone that is connected to my bloodline is not going to hell. Praise the Lord. You say, but don't they have a choice? They have a choice. Excuse me? You want me to show you something in the Word of God? Come with me to Psalm 2 and hear what God's Word has to say about that. Jesus, our Lord, said that he will declare a decree, and that decree was that he, Jesus, is the Son of God. So I will declare the decree. The Lord had said unto me, thou art my son. The decree is, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. And then he says, ask of me as a son, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance. How can God give me the heathen for thine inheritance if the heathen had the right to be the heathen? He said, the heathen belongs to me too. You ask me, I'll give them to you. And I'm asking today, in the mighty name of Jesus, the heathen be given to me now by my Father, because I am a son. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He said, I'll give you the utmost parts of the earth for thy possession. That's what the word of God says. And from the time I heard that word to the fullness of the manifestation of it, I stay in that place of hope, praising God and thanking God that men and women are coming to salvation, as he did on the day of Pentecost, 3,000 people in one day. A few days later, 5,000 added in one day. And then he started saying, multiplied. He started multiplying them. God is a God who not only adds, but a God who multiplies. Hallelujah. And he has a word for you, and he has a word for me. And that word is simple. It is this. It is finished. I've taken care of business. Rejoice in the Lord. And again I say, rejoice. Amen? Praise the Lord. We'll leave that there for now, and I'll continue this evening. Well, I want to thank God for everyone that is here today. No one is here by accident. We're all here by the divine design of God, who's given us an opportunity to worship him in spirit and in truth. Today is Missions Sunday, being the last Sunday of the month. And on Mission Sunday, we do not only give a special offering as we do with our tithe offerings and all of those other stuff, but we give an extra for souls, for missions. You may choose to use one envelope, and if you do, that's fine. Just give your regular offering or tithe there. But under the line called missions, give something there. With the resources for missions, we reach out into the world. As far as I know, to date, we've reached 182 nations with the word of the Lord. Amen. Men and women are being raised unto God, being discipled. In one nation alone, like Pakistan, which is a Muslim country, we have 300 churches that came out of this ministry. Hallelujah. That's missions. We're not just preaching to them. We are setting people up, breaking them free, buying people that were being enslaved, buying them out of slavery, establishing them. The times when we churches are struggling and we actually fund them, not because we have lots, but because we believe in what God believes in. And a pastor is surprised. I've not been paid for 3 months, 4 months, 5 months. I don't have any money and I don't have anything else that I can do. And here they get, what is this? Your little is much in another economy. Amen? Praise the Lord. So missions is important. And today, being the last Sunday of the month, I encourage you to give your regular offering, but also give for missions. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Come, let us honor God together. After this service, here we'll be congregating in the banquet hall, where we'll be having the baptism service. Those that are going to be baptized are going to be sharing their testimonies of how God has impacted their lives. And then we're going to fellowship together. You may rise. This is the body of the Lord. It's a body that was broken for us so that we can come into the joy of the Lord. Today, as we take off this body, let the power of God bring about transformation for every one of us. May we step out of the shadows into the limelight of God's goodness, as God, by His Spirit, elevates every one of us into an arena of supernatural favor, an arena of divine prosperity, an arena of union with God, an arena of being part of the family of God. Take off this body and eat, remembering the Lord. May His peace and His joy keep and sustain. Take and eat.
Joy of the Lord. Somebody say, I receive
the spirit
of the joy of the Lord.
Of the joy of the Lord.
Every word of God is spirit.
Yes.
So when that spirit touches your spirit, then that joy will be in place.
Amen.
Somebody say again,
I receive
the spirit of the joy of the Lord.
The joy of the Lord.
Which is my strength. Somebody say, I am strengthened.
I am strengthened.
By the Lord.
If
you believe that, take and drink.
Amen. The Lord is your peace. The Lord is your strength. The Lord is everything you'll ever need. He's more than enough. May you experience that grace this week and every day of your life. And as we step past this sixth month into the second half of 2026, may you be elevated and may you be graced with the grace of God to champion in every area of your life. May His grace, His loving kindness, and His tender mercies abide with you, causing you to prosper in all that you do, in His name's sake. I declare this so done, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. God bless you. Just give us a few